There is a bill that is pending to be introduced, HB 21, that gives the right for a $15 license to bait for deer and hogs. Representative Jack W. Williams has been gracious enough to be on with us today. Mr. Williams, thank you for coming in.
Well, I appreciate the invite. This is something I'm very passionate about. So,
well, let's first of all tell us what the bill says, what it does, and why you think it's a good idea.
Well, this is House Bill 21. The bill would allow taking of white-tailed deer or feral swine by means of bait when a person purchases a baiting privilege license from the Department of Conservation or National Resource. It's a $14 fee, a dollar more for the issuing fee.
Mm-hmm.
Why I think it's such a good bill is we're feeding now within 100 yards out of sight, which is a big deal. Most people don't know if they're breaking the law or not, just according to who's out of sight it is. The biggest problem I have with that is the feral hogs are eating at 100 yards out of sight, especially in our part of the country where you can't see 100 yards in the woods. They're eating the feed, tearing up the feeders, and we can't shoot them, and we're overrun with these wild hogs. So I see it as a benefit to most hunters in the woods. During deer season, there's no way to feed one without the other because, like I said, you can't put up a sign and say, no deer eat this feed, just hogs.
So your bill provides for anyone, even those, and let me make this clear, the bill says that anybody, even the people who are exempt from buying a regular hunter's license, would have to buy this basically $15 baiting privilege license in order to hunt over bait. Is that correct?
That's correct. Even the landowner, like if I own my own land, I would have to buy it. A person over 65 years old, it doesn't exempt anybody from buying this license.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like the feral in your area, the feral hogs are really the problem for you. Why make this a bill for baiting deer and hogs?
There's really no way to separate the two. I've had people say, well, hogs won't eat where the deer eat, but there's no way to separate the two. A game warden, if you got to feed out and you're hunting hogs and a conservation officer comes up to check you, I would like to see you convince him that you're only there to shoot a hog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's going to be and that conservation understands that. I mean, I've talked to them about it. There's no way to separate the two.
Mm-hmm.
This day and time, we have a $3 limit anyway that we're supposed to be calling in. So it's not like most people that are feeding them are shooting quality deer and wanting to grow deer anyway if they're feeding the deer.
Well, what would you say to those who say, look, we've already got pretty easy to get feral hog permit that you can get for free to shoot feral hogs over bait now, what would you say to those?
I'd say you cannot get it during deer season.
Okay.
Yeah, you cannot purchase that. You can't get it during deer season. We've tried.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to issue it at that time. And my rebuttal to that is we've got more hunters in the wood during deer season than any other time of the year. You know, we've got the most amount of hunters on foot in the woods that are hunting to be able to take the number of feral hogs out to help.
I noticed at the end of your bill, and I want to ask you about this, just to make sure that I'm reading this right. This bill also allows the hunting of wild turkey with a bow and arrow from an elevated position. Is that correct?
No, sir. No, sir. It has nothing to do with turkey hunting.
Okay,
right. You've got another bill looking at it. No, sir. I'm looking at it now. Mine has nothing. Mine has nothing to do with turkey hunting.
Well, I read a bill this morning that had that at the end of, right at the bottom of it.
Yes,
it
sir.
Said no turkey hunting, you know, over bait will be allowed. No turkey hunting from a scaffold is the word that they used mm-hmm. in the bill. But you're saying this is not in your bill?
No, sir, it is not in my bill.
Where can our listeners find this bill if they want to read it thoroughly?
They can go to the House website and pull up House Bill 21.
Okay.
Well, what do you see? I mean, there's, like I said, there's always two sides to a conversation. So what negatives do you see that could, you know, a lot, there's, anytime anything is legislated, there's, can be unintended consequences. Do you see any unintended consequences or any potential negatives to the bill?
I don't, because the complaints I've had is biggest, and I'm an advocate turkey hunter, believe me, mm-hmm. is, you know, we're going to hurt our turkey population. Mm-hmm. Because we're going to be feeding this corn, which we're feeding the corn now within 100 yards, so the turkeys are eating the corn.
Well,
I did go back in my bill, and I have made an amendment where corn cannot be piled up.
Good.
That will be on it.
That's what I was going to ask you about next. Under your bill, it would be still illegal to pile it in a pile because of the mold that occurs, and the turkeys get a disease from that mold. If you're going to bait, you need to spread it out. Am
yes,
I right?
Sir. And we went back and amended that and okay. put it where it would have to be spread or in a feeder.
Now, one other question that I'm really interested in, this $14 or $15,
yes,
will it be matched by the federal government funds?
Yes, sir, and that is a good point. Yes, sir, we're going to get some match money off of it. For the conservation office, too. As you buy your license, which your money is matched there, it will be a certain amount of this match, too, which mm-hmm. could, you know, I haven't got the figures in front of me. I'd ask Game and Fish to try to figure it up, and they haven't got it to me yet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this thing has the potential of bringing in $1.2 to $1.3 million for Game and Fish.
And all the money does go to the conservation department, am I
yes,
right?
Sir. Yes, sir, because I fully believe we need more game wardens. Okay. I mean, we have, I think, 102 in the state of Alabama
mm-hmm.
to enforce the law now. We took in, last year, $147,250, I believe, is the amount that we took in for baiting illegally. And, mm-hmm. you know, a big portion of that was
okay.
over bird fields and stuff. So,
right, okay.
You well, know, it's not even that much.
Mr. Williams, thank you for being on today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for inviting me, sir. Anytime.
Right. We've just heard from Representative Williams about the HB 21 bill for legalizing bait for deer hunting and hog hunting. Now we're going to hear an opponent to the bill. Mr. Corky Pugh is with us. He is the executive director of the Hunting Heritage Foundation. Corky, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Alan.
So what's the problem with the bill, Corky, in a nutshell?
Well, when you look at the science, just doesn't support it. There are too many negatives associated with bait and feed. They range from disease to predation to habitat degradation around those sites, not even to mention the fair chase piece of it.
Yeah.
So game and fish laws fall into two categories, fair chase and fair share. And legalizing bait is very problematic from both those perspectives.
Seems like people just want to make it easier to kill deer and hogs, but is this going to accomplish that?
No. When you look at what the research shows, it's counterintuitive, but in South Carolina, half the state has baiting legal for deer.
Mm-hmm.
The other half the state, it's illegal. And the deer harvest in half of the state where bait is illegal is far higher than in the half where bait is legal.
So the harvest actually went down in that area where baiting became legalized?
Exactly. I'm looking at the write-up on that South Carolina study, and anybody can get online and look at it, but the deer harvest is 33% greater in the area where bait is illegal than where it's legal.
Well, Corky, that's really interesting because I've actually hunted in South Carolina a fair bit, and I've hunted in Florida a fair bit that has legalized baiting in both places. And growing up, you know, hunting in Alabama, I definitely see that happening in the field. It's honestly, with bait on the ground, we saw fewer deer because of, I mean, there wasn't fewer deer there. We did see fewer deer because I think they were just feeding at night mostly. Also, it puts a lot more pressure on the property to go out and feed you, unless you have feeders that are stocked with hundreds and hundreds of pounds of feed. You have to constantly monitor those places and fill them up and that kind of thing. But, I mean, just anecdotal evidence on my end supports what you're saying, the science supports. What about unintended consequences? I asked that in the previous segment, but anytime we have legislation, you're going to have some type of unintended consequence, something somebody didn't see, they saw only pros. What do you think some of those might be?
Well, Joe, the situation in Alabama right now is, in essence, a bait war between landowners, leaseholders, who work very hard to produce huntable populations of deer on their property. And they're being forced by the bait and feeder people to either buy bait and feed to keep those animals on their property, or see somebody go pour out a bucket full of corn across the landline. And charging $15 a head to do it just makes that bait war worse, because the rank-and-file hunter in Alabama, first of all, doesn't want to hunt over bait, but this bill is going to force him to. And then he's going to make a choice of, okay, now I got to buy a feeder, and I got to buy feed, and I got to pay the state $15.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, it pushes the hard-working rank-and-file hunter further and further out of the opportunity to hunt.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Alan and I talked about this before the show. We try not to let our personal opinions and affect this show, but one of the things I think I see is that growing up in Alabama, hunting in Alabama, you know, we learned how to scout. We learned how to go out and make an assessment of where deer were and pattern them. And honestly, doing that was a lot of the excitement, the buildup for going hunting. When you found a fresh rub or you found a good deer trail, you know, you couldn't wait to go and hunt and sit there. But the scouting was just as much fun as the hunting, and it made the hunting that much more enjoyable. And I think that was what hooked me as a young person on hunting. And having hunted in places where baiting is legalized, you spend your time, instead of out scouting for deer and learning the land and seeing all the other beautiful things that are out there, you spend your time filling up feeders and throwing sacks of corn into the back of a UTV or onto a four-wheeler. And I think one of the unintended consequences, apart from what you just said, is going to be hunter recruitment. I'll be perfectly honest, it's just not any fun doing all that baiting myself. That's how I feel about it. I hate to be opinionated, but that's how I feel about it.
There is a lot of hard work involved in maintaining all that stuff. And, you know, the other unintended consequence here, it goes back to the science. All that corn poured out all over the landscape is only increasing the nutritional plane of feral pigs and increasing their reproductive rate.
Hmm.
What the science shows about the deer, and this goes back to that South Carolina study and some other radio telemetry studies with deer, is where you've got corn poured out in the wood, those deer are nocturnal by nature anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way the Lord made them. And they go to those bait sites right after dark, fill up on carbs.
So you,
if you got grain fields, they go to your grain fields about 2 o'clock in the morning.
You end up seeing less deer, in your opinion. I appreciate your time being on the show today. We'll let the audience decide how they feel about this issue. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Corky. Well, Alan, I'm glad we could have Corky on. I thought he brought up some good points, and I thought Representative Williams brought up some good points. I know I've got my feelings on the subject, but you've been hunting here for over 50 years. What are your thoughts?
Well, to me, people need to ask themselves three questions about this issue. Is it ethical for you? Is it effective? And does it benefit conservation? On the ethical side of things, I'm sort of on the fence. I don't see a lot of difference in throwing out corn and planting a food plot. You're both attracting deer and game to come to your location. So I'm sort of a wash on the ethical part. there's good arguments on both sides. When it comes to being effective or does it work, that's what most people want to know. According to, you know, what happened in South Carolina and what Corky said and what I've seen personally, just because you're feeding corn to deer and baiting deer doesn't mean you're going to kill more deer. It doesn't even mean you're going to see more deer. And in some cases, you're going to see less deer. Depends on how you do it. Does it benefit conservation? Well, it may bring in $1 million more to the conservation department, and that's always a good thing, I guess. They need the more money. We need more game wardens. But in the overall picture thing, I always go back to ask myself, what are we doing to hunting? We've legalized decoys for turkey hunting to try to make it easy for beginners or whatever. We've legalized crossbows for anybody who wants to buy one and hunt during bow season. They don't have to pull the bow back anymore. We're making it easier, it seems like, every other year for everybody to kill more deer. And I know the reason for that is they want more hunters in the game. They want that money from the you know, the matching funds from license fees and all of that. I just want everybody to ask themselves, is there a better way to fund the conservation department than to just, you know, do away with the essence of hunting, what makes it special, what makes it hard? It should be hard. It should be something that you have to work at a little bit and learn. So that's sort of my opinion on it.
Well, I echo a lot of those feelings. It's a debate that's ongoing. I look forward to seeing what's going to happen.
And we'll keep it going right here on Alabama's Great Days Outdoors Radio Show.